All right. Well, as I said at the beginning of the last hour, some of you hadn't heard, I think you, if you've been listening, you now know that the Pakistanis have brokered or arranged some kind of a two-week ceasefire. I think, without going too much into it, it's safe to say that Taco Trump played the key role in that. I don't think he has a stomach for doing what his mouth says he'll do. He just loves to run his mouth. That's what he gets off on. He's a very ugly, a dark personality. But when it comes right down to it, he's a taco. And that's probably the best thing we have going for ourselves now. That is not to say that there hasn't been a terrible amount of damage. Over 12,500 targets bombed and hit with various types of ordnance in Iran alone. And today at 5 o'clock Eastern was supposed to be the big deadline, as I'm sure all of you know. What we got instead was a two-week ceasefire. But I hasten to add, I have seen nothing that includes the Zionist State of Israel in this two-week ceasefire agreement, which means what? Which means they can continue and carry on as they have been since the beginning of this war. We'll find out. I also had that report about, I think it was 15 passenger-type airliners leaving Ben-Gurion Airport. I believe that's the airport. Apparently, every 2 minutes, and possibly carrying the elite of Israeli government figures and their families to a safe destination, which suggests, on the face of it, that nukes were on the table to be used tonight to, as Trump kept saying, annihilate an entire civilization, i.e. Iran. Nukes. It makes sense. Back with us tonight in a special visit is our friend and colleague, Mitchell Henderson. He is here. He's going to give us his two cents about what the Epstein Alliance is doing or not doing. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello. Trump had really, you know, in Western law, English common law, you have two components to a crime. One, you have to actually do the crime, and two, you must show intent to do the crime. So this is just like in English countries in America. The rest of the world, this has codified law, where if you break the law, then you did it, and then what the court determines is mitigating circumstances to determine what punishment you get. But right. What we have is you have to intend to do the crime. Well, what Trump did when he said that he was going to obliterate a civilization and it won't be able to come back again, he, to the world, announced that he intended to commit a genocide, a war crime,
sir.
A crime
Absolutely.
Against humanity.
Yeah.
Okay, what I was just blown away by is the moral cowardice of everybody in the world, because nobody wanted to call him out. Not even the Democratic Party called him out. Like these six, Slotkin, Mark Kelly, and them, who went on social media to tell soldiers, "Oh, don't obey illegal orders vis-a-vis. Don't get deployed to Chicago and protect buildings and property." Listen, protecting buildings and people is not an illegal order. That is a perfectly legal order. But what they wanted to do is they were trying to encourage troops to not deploy or miss movement, which would put those troops in very bad trouble, because you can get in serious trouble by missing movement. Okay.
Well, to add on to what you're saying real quick, Tucker Carlson urged American government officials of rank to defy Trump on his Iranian orders. Tucker said,
It's their duty to.
That's right. He said, say no, absolutely not will they participate in supporting it. But how many stood up and did that? None that I've seen.
None.
A few.
See, Tucker is right, because he's telling people he's telling people to not to disobey an illegal order. Now, these Mark Kelly and Elise Slatkin, they're telling people to disobey legal orders and trying to trick them into thinking they were illegal. Where there's so much clarity in this, it's not funny. This is very clearly an illegal order. So every airman, everybody flying a jet, shooting a missile, is a war criminal. If they do it, if they push the button, if they drop the bombs, they're war criminals.
In black and white, on paper, according to law, you are 100% correct.
Yes.
Absolutely correct. Yeah.
No ands, buts, or ifs. So let me tell you what happened is Pakistan and China. China is the mover behind this. China saved Trump, you know, because Trump's supposed to go talk to Xi Jinping. I think Xi wants to talk some serious business with him. So Xi saved his butt. Because let me tell you, let's look at the events. So approximately an hour before the deadline, Trump reiterated that he was going to destroy their civilization, genocide. Okay,
right.
And Iran's response is, "We will not negotiate with you. We will not make a ceasefire with you. We will not make peace with you. We will not be negotiating with you at all. Okay, never, ever, ever. Okay." So what China did is they convinced Pakistan and said, you know, ask Iran if we can get the United States and Israel to cease fire for 2 weeks, will you cease fire for 2 weeks and let people go through the strait? You know, now this is not, keep very close in mind, this is not Iran negotiating with the United States. Absolutely not. This is Iran negotiating with Pakistan. Okay. So this is no kind of a victory in any way for Trump. This is a total defeat for Trump.
Let me say one thing to add on to that, Mitch. Hold on. The media is going to twist this. The White House is going to twist this. But your point is spot on. This is an agreement between Iran and Pakistan, and the Americans were notified. That's how I've read it so far. And you're right.
That is the correct reading of it. This is not the Iranians have not caved to Trump.
No.
Okay, Trump is the Antichrist. They're never going to cave to him. Okay. So why would Iran do this? Normally, they wouldn't want to have a ceasefire for 2 weeks because the United States is just going to build up their munitions and restock, resupply and stuff. But what Iran is thinking about is, Iran is just thinking, okay, well, we know what they're going to target. They're going to target our power facilities. They're going to target our infrastructure. They're going to do this. You know, there's nothing wrong for the next 2 weeks to implement some kind of a plan where we can take care of our people without all this stuff, because it's going to go away. Maybe we can get a few more anti-aircraft systems up to take out some of this stuff. Because what they were going to do, the plan A, you might say, was to just retaliate by blasting water desalination plants, oil refineries, loading docks, civilian infrastructure in the Gulf countries and in Israel. Okay, so that was their plan, but they knew they were going to get hurt. So I think what they're doing is they're saying, well, yeah, the Americans can use that to restock, but we can also use that 2 weeks to prepare for what's going to come. So let me explain why. What's going to come is going
to
come.
I add one other thing to that? The Iranians, thank you. The Iranians have already been reported, and I tend to believe this is accurate, as having been able to get in to bombed underground missile caverns, tunnels, and literally pull out all kinds of missiles and get launch sites back in operation within an hour or two after these attacks. They're going to use these 2 weeks to pull a lot of missiles that have been sealed off, shall we say, in underground missile cities and so forth, they have still 50% of their missiles by the best count so far. They're going to go after a lot of weaponry, a lot of material that has been lost to them, at least temporarily. So they're really looking forward to this, in my view. So that's why they went ahead with a Pakistani offer. Yeah.
Yeah, they can disperse the people into the countryside also, okay?
Yes.
I think by now Iran knows they're going to get nuked. So they need to move the people out of the nuclear targets and stuff as much as they possibly can.
And that nuking can come any time by the Jews. Don't forget that. Any time.
Right,
I don't believe the Jews
are
honoring this agreement from Pakistan at all. No word of it so far.
Well, listen, Israel said that they will honor the two-week ceasefire. They said that they would.
On a formal basis, they said that?
Missiles are still coming in on Israel and stuff. But realistically, if you remember, we just destroyed Iran's command and control ability, communications and stuff. The people firing the missiles, that's down to the battery level. A battery is like a company, about 200 men, okay? The battery commander has the ability to authorize launch missiles. It's going to take a while with more antiquated methods of communication to get the word down that there's a ceasefire, okay?
Gotcha. All right, very good.
But here's the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is Trump has made this ultimatum for Iran to open the strait. The truth is, Iran has never closed the strait. They never closed it. They never officially said the Strait of Hormuz is closed. They did. They were talking with Oman to start charging tolls on the strait.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
and
now they're not saying they're going to impose this unilaterally because half of the strait belongs to the country of Oman, and they sent people to Oman to talk about it set up a structure where we can collect tolls from people for passage and stuff, okay? And Trump just said, I will be collecting the tolls for the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, this is just what an ignorant, braggart, blowhard he is. Okay?
This ridiculous stuff comes out of his mouth.
Just ridiculous stuff. Yeah. So here's the thing. Why are no ships going through the Strait of Hormuz, and who has the ability to make a move, okay? Well, let me just lay it out for you. So one of these oil tankers cost $120 million, okay? That's how much an oil tanker costs. The oil on the tanker, the cargo on one of those tankers, is worth $200 million, okay? So each oil tanker, that's $320 million, right? No ship moves without insurance. Okay, and who's going to insure something that is likely to be sunk in a conflict zone, or at least severely damaged? Okay, well, who's going to do that? So let's go to the people who have the power to close the Strait of Hormuz. Guard. Insurance company in Norway. They're the number one insurer of ships in the world. Mm-hmm. Alliance in Germany. They're like the number two. Then you have in Switzerland, you have Chubb Group, and you have Zurich Group. Those are, and Lloyd's of London. These are the companies that do it. There's an American country called AIG. They also are a major insurer of shipping and stuff. Okay. These are not government entities. These are private enterprises, and they don't have to do anything. Okay. They don't have to insure something against their interests. So the fact that they withdraw insurance from any of these ships is what stops the flow of ships through the Strait of Hormuz. It's not that Iran said that we're blocking it. They never blocked it. It just became a war zone. Who made it a war zone? America and Israel made it in a war zone, not Iran.
Okay? 100%.
Not only that, but you have to remember, Israel is attacking these ships themselves just to create havoc. Israel is blowing up Saudi oil refineries. Okay, Israel is blowing things up too, not just Iran. Okay, Israel is attacking things in the Strait of Hormuz. There's private boats out in the Persian Gulf. Private boats, believe it or not, people have sailboats and yachts in the Persian Gulf because they have yacht clubs like UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and stuff like this. So these rich people, they have yachts down there. They said Israeli drones were attacking them. These are civilian ships that Israeli drones were attacking. They weren't worried about Iranian drones. Iranian drones are going after real targets. Okay? The Israelis are just trying to create havoc. Okay, so what happened is who has the power to open the Strait of Hormuz? The insurance companies do. They're the ones. So Iran cannot do it even if they want to. There's nothing they can do. They can't move heaven and earth make the Strait of Hormuz open. It's looking at another thing. Can the United States land troops in the Gulf and seize the area and suppress enemy fires and open the strait? No, they cannot. Because even if the Americans are there, they're not going to insure their ships. They're not going to take a chance. Listen, insurance is gambling. You know, it's gambling is what it is. You're gambling money on a ship making it through okay. Yeah. But this is a $320 million each thing. So if they lose one ship, that wipes out all their profit. One ship and their profit's gone, right? That's another, a lot of money.
A container ship sunk today was hit about a month ago by the Iranians, and it finally sunk today in the Persian Gulf somewhere. Yeah.
So you see, this is what does it. America cannot open the strait, and neither can Iran. So to use opening the Strait of Hormuz to give somebody an ultimatum to do something that they cannot possibly do is absurd. It's like, what are you negotiating here?
Right.
They can't do it. So what that is you just want to blame the strait being closed on them. The Strait of Hormuz is closed, and our gas prices are high because Trump and Netanyahu attacked Iran illegally, against the law, against the UN Charter, against the Geneva Conventions. It is a war crime to attack a country aggressively without a cause. They can make up all these causes, but they're bullshit charges. Listen, in Iran, since America was founded, okay, 250 years ago, America's been in so many wars. America has attacked Iran before.
Isn't there only something like 8 years during that 250 where the U.S. has not been actively at war somewhere? It's some tiny amount.
Yeah, I think so.
8 years?
I think it's 15 years.
Fine.
15 years
whatever.
We have not been at war somewhere.
It's ludicrous.
So it's a small amount. Yeah. So how many times has Iran ever attacked any neighbor at all? Since the founding of the United States 250 years ago, Iran has never attacked its neighbors. It has never attacked another nation.
No.
It has not got imperialistic moves and stuff. And I think I described one time before that the purpose of the IRGC is not for Iran to conquer like Syria or Iraq or Lebanon or any of these other countries. It's to encourage these other countries to liberate themselves from the Zionist control. So that as long as a Zionist country borders Iran, they're going to attack Iran. Okay, I mean the Soviet Union hasn't attacked Iran since like after World War II. The United States. You know, we overthrew their minister, their prime minister back in 1953. In after the revolution in 1979, in 1980, it's us who encouraged Iraq, Saddam, to attack Iran and make an 8-year war that killed millions of people. They even used nerve gases and stuff on people. I mean, this is a nasty, dirty, dirty, filthy war, okay? And it was a war of aggression by by Sunni nations influenced by Zionist reasons. We provided intelligence to Saddam. We provided munitions to Saddam. We even reflagged ships as American ships to support Saddam. Okay? We did everything we could to support the aggressor in that attack. So the thing is, you know, looking from here, we can call Iran the bad guys all we want to, but let's look at Iran. Let's look at it from their point of view. Is they just get attacked no matter what? Okay. So several things going forward that's going to be pretty important is Iran has to get a nuclear weapon. The United States and Israel now knows Iran has to have a nuclear weapon.
I think they may already have one or two. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, yeah, they have to have. Well, they have to have an announced nuclear weapon at some point. When this shakes out, there is no way. I mean, the new Ayatollah just has to issue a fatwa because they have seen that they have to take a lot of abuse if they don't have a nuclear weapon. I mean, we want them to completely be defenseless, but we refuse in every negotiation, we refuse to guarantee them their security.
Yes, sir.
We will not guarantee them freedom from attack by Israel.
No.
We will not guarantee that, no matter what.
Or the U.S.
So if we're not going to guarantee them their security, they're going to have to provide it themselves. And that means they have to. They really need a nuclear weapon. Okay.
Well, the Saudis are after one now, you know. They're after one, and they'll get one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. They want one. There's a couple reasons why they have this big war going on right now, and this is Israel and its death throes. You have two big movements that have been happening since about 2017. In 2017, you had the Astana process, and this is where Turkey, Iran, and Russia wanted to reorder the Middle East and reorder their attitudes or their policies in the Middle East. So part of this was that Lebanon and Syria would fall under Turkish control, because Turks want that. Iraq would be under Iranian control, okay, because it basically is, okay. So then Russia would be sort of Russia would be the friend of this group and be allowed to do two things. What Russia's looking for is pathways to the south, so they could have a pathway through Turkey. They could have a pathway through Iran, okay? So this is for trade and for business. It's not to conquer the world. It's just for business, okay? So Turkey was looking at this. Turkey's looking at, okay, well, you know, if we, you know, we really have to be friends with Iran, and we really have to be friends with Russia if we want to have our sphere of influence to include the Turkish people of Central Asia. So they want a pan-Turkish-like friendship league. So Azerbaijan, to get to Azerbaijan, they have to go through Georgia, Armenia, and Iran, and then they have to cross the Caspian Sea to get to Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. And these are all Turkish people, okay? So Iran is looking like, well, we have the same situation. We also have Persian-speaking people, Farsi-speaking people, and those would be the people of Afghanistan and the people of Tajikistan. Okay, so this would, we just want to make one big happy family there. Okay, and it's in Russia. This is Russia's South Front. So Russia's looking at like this. A standard process will sort of secure and pacify our South Front. So we're definitely for this, okay? Israel does not want this, because after Iran is destroyed, they want to genocide the Turkish people. in Turkey right after this. They've said so. They've announced that when they're done destroying Iran, they want to destroy Turkey. Okay. So this is, everybody knows this. So then there's a second process that started when Israel attacked Qatar, because see, America had told all these Arab countries, let us put bases in your country and then Israel won't attack you and we'll protect you. Well, we let Israel attack Qatar. We knew about it. We approved it. Okay, they say, oh, we didn't know anything. Yes, we did. We were told by the Israelis that they were going to do it. Okay, because we will always do what Israel says, even if that screws our allies, even if it screws the world, even if it screws humanity, we will do it.
Here's a question.
Yes.
How much, now, you are first tier in terms of understanding. You have great sources. On our side of the fence, which is the journalism side of the fence of whatever games they're up to, how much of what is really going on in the totality of evil that is at work do we really have access to and do we really know about? I'm going to say one-third at the best. That's my best guess. That's what we really know about. What do you think?
I think maybe 10%. I think people just don't realize how evil these people are. I mean, sometimes we look at things they do and we say they're stupid. They're not stupid. They're evil. Okay.
They're smart as it gets.
When you can start realizing that it's not stupidity, that's intentional evil, then you're starting to grasp how much control of things that they have. They're trying to always control the narrative, which is nonsense. It's almost childish, the narrative that they expect us to believe. Okay, so anyways, when they bombed Qatar, this showed the Arab nations that America will never protect them from Israel. So that's why Saudi Arabia said they made the strategic defense agreement with Pakistan. Okay. Well, here's the full picture on what they want to develop, okay? What they want that to develop into is they want to get Turkey involved, okay? And then the first stage will be Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan. But then after that, they want to include the whole thing. They want to include Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Oman, Jordan, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, Egypt, Algeria, Tunisia. They want to make it a pan-Islamic thing, even to the point where they want to extend this all the way to Indonesia. And this will cut a line all the way from the Pacific to the Atlantic, of a nuclear-powered alliance, mutual defense alliance. They think this can bring stability and peace. The only problem in the world they have is Israel. Israel will do anything to stop that process from happening. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
Israel's clearly the enemy of humanity. And the only way we're going to have peace and prosperity in the world is if Israel gets stopped. Here's what Iran's point of view is. Iran is, we have a United Nations. We have laws of war. We have international law. Okay? The United States and Israel attacked them viciously. And the whole world did nothing to stop them.
No.
There is no movement against them at all.
How many ICC actions have been taken to hold accountable the beasts and monsters who are doing this? Nothing.
No, nothing. And there will be none. See, Trump sees all the impunity that Israel has, and Trump knows that he will have that impunity also. Okay? He can do whatever he wants to do. So So is Iran really concerned with the world economy? Do you think that they will even think for a minute about what's good for the world economy when the world has abandoned them to these monsters?
That's pretty funny.
They're not going to consider us. They're not going to be worried about what's good for us. Okay? So I think they just brought themselves two weeks to further disperse, okay, maybe disperse their civilian populations and stuff, too. They need to think about what they're going to do for food, water, and, you know, energy, warmth, stuff like that. They can move a lot of people into the countryside. A lot of people will probably leave Iran, okay, and fled into Europe and set up mosques and Sharia law, you know. The things we do to ourselves, you know. With our policies.
And then, you know, percolating in the background of all of this horror is the death of Europe, overrun with third world filth. Dead. People who will not ever even entertain the idea of assimilation, giving up anything from their homeland, their way of life, their religion, etc., etc. The Muslims practicing honor killings. Friends, if you don't know about it, look it up. If you don't know about FGM, look it up. This is not, and I'm not, there are a lot of really great people who identify with being Islamic, but this is not something of the 21st century. FGM, forget it. It does honor killings. These do not belong in a modern world. This is from the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. This is not a legitimate religion in the sense of being pragmatically interrelated to the times we live in. It is, it's crazy. But that is not the only religion that's crazy, is it? No.
People should look at this also is you need to look at these 2 weeks as a reprieve for you, okay? Because once this war does, once this does
very
kick
good.
Off and Trump does go to
very
exterminate
good.
These people, it's going to be, the economy is going to go into the pits really fast when this happens. So this is kind of nice for us that we got 2 extra weeks, but the stupidity doesn't stop. The evil does not stop. They're still going to exterminate Iran. Israel who has the objective, and their objective is to genocide the Iranian people, then the Turkish people. Okay, so it's inevitable that it's going to happen. Iran is never going to agree to the ridiculous terms that Trump lays down.
Should it.
It's just like when Trump was trying at first to negotiate with Russia. He was just asking Russia what Ukraine wanted. Well, Russia's not losing this war. Why would they? Russia doesn't want to stop the war. Why would they give anything to Ukraine? Why? You know, and it's just like we have to look. We have to look, too, that who's at siege here. Russia is under siege. Russia has nothing but a wall of NATO to the west, to the north, and to the east. It's nothing but NATO. Okay? They are not gonna have a NATO-Ukraine. That is unacceptable. That is an existential threat to Russia. They will not allow it. They will go to nuclear war before they ever allow Ukraine to be in NATO. But Europe wants them in NATO. Europe is just insane. It's like here's the absurdity of Europe. Europe is saying, well, Russia can't win this war. Russia's weak and everything. So we should keep fighting in Ukraine. And then the next day they say, Russia may invade us at any moment. Okay, so which is it? Is Russia strong enough to invade you at any moment? Or is Russia so weak that we should continue the war in Ukraine? You see, like, these people are so infected with doublethink that, you know, what it is that on any given question, they're just going to pull an answer out of their butts and expect you to believe it. Okay, yeah. It is their way, no matter which way you look at it. So there's an intractability. I mean, here in America, you can see. Can you reason with a Democrat? No, they're doctrinaire. They're indoctrinated. They're what a Democrat is, and even if they don't know that they are, the fact is they're godless sodomite Marxists. That's all a Democrat is, and I'm saying every single Democrat. There's no Democrat that is not.
That is the belief system. Of course it is. You're right. That is, by definition, their belief system.
So whether they know it or not. They're going to do what the Democratic Party wants them to do. They're not going to be worried about all the promises that they made to you. I mean, listen, if the Democrats get in, they're saying, oh, well, we're worried about the poor working class family. Look at Mamdani. He says, oh, we're going to tax the billionaires and all that stuff. And then, at the end of the day, what does he do? He raises property taxes on the middle class and the poor people that own homes, and not the super rich people. Okay.
Right.
So you're always going to get screwed. They're going to do things like unrealized capital gains. In other words, your grandma bought a house for $10,000. In 1960, okay, that house is now valued at $2 million. They're going to expect her to pay property taxes on income taxes on the unrealized capital gains of that house on $2 million.
And it's communist theft. Communist theft.
It's
all it is.
So that's it. They also want to stop. They want a homeless America because they want you to own nothing and be happy. So one is this unrealized capital gains is one way to do it. The second way to do it is they want to get rid of the fixed rate mortgage. They say that only white people get fixed rate mortgages. Actually, only responsible people get.
They want ARMs, is what you're saying. They want adjustable rate mortgages
that
every 6 months will go up or down.
Right,
and you know where they're going.
They want to make it go up so that you can no longer make payments on your house. And you'll lose your home.
It's a BlackRock, and they'll buy it up, and they'll rent it out.
That's
what they're going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Democrats want to impoverish you between the millstones of taxation and inflation is what they want to do. They want to destroy your life, okay, because they can't, okay, because they're evil. They're Bolsheviks. Okay?
And unfortunately, they're going to do very well. In my opinion, they're going to do very well in the midterms. We're going to see a communist surge.
They definitely are.
Trump has set this up because of his obedience
America first.
No, he never has.
He refuses to put America first.
Put himself first.
He will not do it. Yes. Yes, it's just...
When you talk about treason, I mean, honest to God, can you give me a more vivid example of what this guy has done? I guess you could go back to FDR and talk about Pearl Harbor getting us into two world wars on the East and the West. That's worse. But ultimately, we're getting near an existential do-or-die situation here. This country may die. It could potentially die. And, well, I shouldn't say die. It'll be so overwhelmed with a digital reconfiguration that it might as well be dead. The surveillance, the combination of control of your wealth, your money, adjustable rate mortgages. How are you even going to begin to think about buying a house? Forget it.
I predict that there will be no presidential campaign in 2028. I don't think America will exist in 2028. It'll be over.
I'm not going to argue that one bit. No.
It'll be over by then. Trump is the last president of the United States. There won't be another one after him. The country won't exist anymore. Okay, it's just like you should be feeling this now, and you should be going out, and you should be, this is civil war. This is not just World War III. This is the collapse of civilization. There is no future. Okay, so what you have now is all you're going to have for the rest of your life.
What underscores the collapse, Mitch? The deliberate dumbing down of the masses, and they have never been more malleable and stupid. They're addicted to their little screen crap. They don't assume responsibility. They run off and play games, get their little endorphin rush. They just will not be accountable people. Very few.
Well, you know,
so that's the end.
It all comes down to this. In order to sustain 8 billion people on Earth, you need energy to do it.
Not going to happen.
I mean, we're talking about people. People in a Siberia need to stay warm. They need fuel for that. People in Saudi Arabia need just to stay cool. They need energy for that. Okay, you need energy to get food to market and stuff. And I mean, they can be very efficient in getting food to market, but it takes energy to do that. So if you look at the Republicans, the way they're going to kill your life is by destroying oil, okay? In an effort to control oil, they're going to destroy the distribution of oil. You're seeing them do that right now, okay? They're doing it right now before your eyes. On the left, the Democrats, they wanted to destroy oil by simply stop using it through the Green New Deal. These are both suicide cults.
No, not going to happen. Neither one.
All right. Neither one. They're both going to kill you. They both want to kill every one of us, no matter what. You know.
Now remember, if we had a government of, by, and for the people, even half-assed, we would never want for energy in this country. We have more oil, more gas than we could ever consume, and a 500-year minimum amount of coal using energy at the same level we're consuming it now, just standing by, just laying in the ground. We have no energy shortage here. Anybody who complains about the gas pump, about a breakdown of the entire chain of supply in this country because of a lack of energy, doesn't understand how they're being stabbed in the back by the lying, treasonous government that's in Washington. We have more energy than we could ever know what to do with, and our people should never, ever go without. Never.
Well, listen to this, too. Business, wealthy people have two things. One, they want to have as much wealth as possible, and two, they want to obstruct anybody else from having it good.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Even when you look at Walmart. Yeah. Walmart wanted to make sure that there was no local grocery stores left.
That's
true. Can't make money off of selling groceries.
No,
only Walmart can sell groceries. Okay?
Yep.
So listen, that, you know, you still have time now, you know, to get some staple foods, get matches, get stuff that you need, salt, pepper. You need to think ahead here, because the time is drawing close. And what you're going to see is, as gas prices go up, food prices go up, the price of everything will go up, and there'll be a scarcity of things. Okay, everybody witnessed this with toilet paper during the COVID epidemic. Toilet paper is a beautiful example of it. It was something that wasn't even related COVID, but somehow it was the thing that there was panic buying on toilet paper, okay?
Right.
So it wasn't even a gastrointestinal disease, you know? So I know the story of why the toilet paper disappeared. The Australians thought that all their toilet paper was imported from China, so they went out and they mass-ported it because they thought the Chinese would stop shipping toilet paper to Australia. Australians called the United States. It spread like wildfire. The fact is most toilet paper in every country is produced by that country. It's too bulky to ship in trade. Okay. Australian toilet paper actually comes from Australia, just as American toilet paper comes from America. Almost every country's toilet paper comes from their own country. I mean, you know. But anyways, it did this. So you know, give my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, because it's coming on. It's happening now. It's happening. It's coming. We started World War III on June 22nd of last year, and that's because at that point, up to that point, when Israel attacked Iran, it was just between Iran and Israel. But as soon as we bombed Iran, Iran had warned us, if America gets involved, we're going to bomb American bases in the Middle East. So we dragged all the Arab countries into this war by supporting Israel. At some point, the Arabs are going to see that not only did we not protect them, but we destroyed their countries, and they're going to kick us out. Yeah. So if they have half a brain, they'll kick us out. What do we offer them besides trouble and destruction? Nothing. There's nothing. They can see now that we offer them nothing but trouble. Okay. Oh. So.
That, you know, have you honestly, Mitch, you, come on, your perspective is extraordinary. We do not have a viable, legitimate government of, by, and for the people of America. We do not have a government. It doesn't serve us. It serves a foreign power.
Yes, we do not have a government that has the interests of the American people at heart.
No.
It does not. It doesn't do anything in our interest. This war, this attacking Iran, was exactly the opposite of the interests of the American people.
You
the
bet.
Opposite of our interests. Yeah.
And Trump is every bit as guilty as he could possibly be for his negligence, his weakness, his idiocy. He's a stupid man, ultimately, driven by greed.
Yeah.
Remember what he said yesterday?
That ego.
Yeah, I want the Iranian oil. I can make a lot of money from the Iranian oil and gas.
Trump's ego is more important than his greed, though, I think. His ego is more powerful than his greed. It's like, he's like, oh, you have to give me a Nobel Peace Prize. You have to. We'll sanction you, Norway. No, what did he say? He said, I think it was Denmark. He told Denmark, I'm going to sanction you if you don't give me a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, the Nobel Peace Prize is a Norwegian thing, not a Danish thing. So he doesn't even know who it is that's
stupid,
giving it to him. And it's a bunch of woke liberals that decide who gets it. So the chances of him getting it's not that. Then when he issues a Medal of Honor, he says, oh, I always wanted one of those. So I started thinking, oh, well, he's going to figure out some way that he can get awarded a Medal of Honor. You know, I mean, you know, I put nothing past him. You know, it's just
no,
he has
that's,
to be
that's the way it ought
man,
to be done.
The greatest, the, you know, whatever. I mean, it's
World Wrestling, WWF Hall of Fame. That's who Donald Trump is. He's a showman. He's a freak. He's an entertainer. He's a fraud. He's a lightweight. And above all, he is a dupe.
You know what? I begrudgingly sat down and watched his State of the Union this year, and I noticed something about it. Is it was a show, is what it was. He didn't have a State of the Union address.
No,
he had
of course
a
it's
State
a show.
Of the Union show.
WWE.
Okay? And it was a well done show. I think you could see his showmanship.
Well, it should be.
Okay.
He's got the best.
I mean,
of
that's
the best
what he
behind
is.
Him.
He's a showman. Right?
Yeah.
He's a showman. That's all he is. He just runs a good show. He runs the America show for Israel's entertainment and benefit.
Well, all I know is I hope all of you have, in this country, where it's still legal, you need to have firearms to protect yourself now more than ever. You must. And if you can get your license to carry, carry every day you leave the house. Be safe. Be safe. You don't want to use the weapons. That's not what they're for. They're to protect you. And there's no better insurance than that. And then the issue is food. Food and water. Wow. Hey, Mitch, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
We didn't know what was going to happen tonight, but it's not a surprise. Taco Trump, again, the Iranians coming in. Keep in mind this agreement, it was not made between Iran and the U.S. Okay? Just keep that in mind. This is a Pakistani-U.S. agreement and a Pakistani-Iranian agreement. And they're brokering the deal. How strong it will be, I don't know. And if the Jews have said now that they're part of it, they want time to desperately try to dig out their dead and wounded from what's left of Tel Aviv. It is a mess there, apparently. Just a horrific nightmare. And they keep saying in their statistics, there are 4,000...
They're shutting 4,000 down. All of them.
Yeah, 4,000 wounded. They never talk about... But they lie. Everything they say is a lie. Nobody dies. They're just all wounded. It's crazy. Crazy. Oh, my. Yeah. Well, it's quite a workout. We do our best to stay on top of things for you, so you have material that you can discern and think about and come to your own decisions. That's what we want. We want you to make your mind up. We don't want you to believe anything that's said here. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, great. You're listening, you care, and you are appreciated. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Appreciate everything.
Thank you, and good luck, everybody.
Yes, sir, Mitch. Yes, sir. Well said. All right, we will pause and come right back with David Oates coming up next.